Blog Talk Radio.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, of this word, that we can gain in knowledge and wisdom and our faith be strengthened, Father, so that we can go forth to do the work that you would have each of us to do. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the sixth chapter now of 2 Corinthians. It is not a real long chapter. In fact, most of 2 Corinthians chapter are short chapters. There's 18 verses to chapter 6. So we'll see what the Lord has got for us and where we end up. All right. I want you to really think as we read and as we study to see what these verses are really saying to you and I. Verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. It's not a very long verse, is it? Quite a bit there. Because, mainly because of this word vain. Because you see, most people don't even really know and understand what that word really means and what it's all about. But as we take a look at that verse, and it tells us that we receive not the grace of God in vain, he's actually telling you and I not to receive the grace of God to no purpose. In other words, we receive it, but we don't use it. We don't think about it. It has brought no purpose to our life. So actually, it has done us no good. And that's what we're not to do. We are to understand and know that when we receive the grace of God, we're receiving his love and his way of helping you and I. And Paul goes on now, his way of telling us, there's no hint here that the salvation of the Corinthians believers is in jeopardy. You see, he's not saying that those believers are in jeopardy, but the grace of which he speaks has reference to 5:21. Well, this morning we were studying the 5th chapter, and 21 happens to be the last verse, and he's kind of referring us back to that also. And it says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, that's why we don't take things in vain. We don't take them to no purpose. We take the study of God's word and what he gives us also into our lives to make our lives better, but also to be used in reaching out to this lost and dying world in which we're living to help others to come out of darkness, out of this evil that's going on today, and to understand that they stand in need of one to help them, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they go to him and repent and be baptized in his name, putting on his death, his burial, and his resurrection, so that we can all walk in newness of life and be on our way on that pathway of righteousness and, you know, this righteousness that we walk in of Christ should be daily applied to our lives, not just when we want it to, but if you are going to be a child of God, that is done every day, not once in a while. And we're told in so many different places and so many different ways that it is daily. And you know, we were only having services 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Thursday evening. I picked Thursday when I first started this because there was others that knew me that wanted to come and listen to me, but they belonged to other places, other churches, and they would meet on Wednesday. So I just went ahead when I opened up this last church that had been closed 2 years, and I made it Thursday instead of Wednesday so they could come if they wanted to come. Now, we find that even though we walk in righteousness and doing the things we are supposed to be doing, you know, Paul, his speaking is genuinely born again. But even though that has happened, there's no judicial pardon that guarantees practical Christian living. We have to work at that in walking in obedience and keeping the Lord our God in doing the things he will call on us to do. And as we all know, because we have heard it time after time, and we'll be hearing it more as we go along, that we are an example to those that are around us. And as soon as you meet someone and they find out that you are a child of God, you tell them that you are a child of God, they start watching you and your life right then. Because they are looking and waiting for you to slip up and make a mistake. And that's what we don't want to do. And that's why we don't accept these things and accept the Word of God in vain. Because when we do that, we've got no purpose. Because it is of no use. We have to have that purpose in life and belong to the Lord our God, and then we can grow. All right. Verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He's talking here in verse 2 about, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the sense of the Hebrew of the Old Testament. You know, that passage is somewhat lost here, literally, because the expression reads, in a favorable time, I answer you in the day of salvation, have I secured thee. He has helped and secured thee. Consistent with Hebrew parallel, and this is intended to echo the previous expression in Isaiah. The two expressions constituted a promise to the servant of the Lord to sustain him in the time of his ministry. However, the passage not only has messianic implications, it is also addressed to the Messiah's people who represent him. And this is the sense here. In other words, you and I are those that are to be representatives of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and Almighty God, and also the Holy Spirit. Because you see, what will show through you as a born-again child of God is the Holy Spirit that is living in you, that is giving you the knowledge, the wisdom to use that knowledge, and the power and the tools to do the things that needs to be done. Because we are to be helpers to others, and especially to those that are lost. And we have to be that example. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the Son of God, but he was born in the flesh, just like you and I. And we know his word tells us he was tempted in like manner as we are tempted. Yet he had lived his whole life without ever committing sin. That was to let you and I know that you can live without sin in your life, where most will tell you, no, everybody sins. No, they don't. And the Word of God tells you they don't. They even tells you why. Ordinarily, I don't like jumping around, but we are going to run there. I teach this every now and then because it's something, I don't know, we seem to forget all the time. But it is something that we really need to know. Does everybody sin? Well, when you go to 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to read quite a few verses here because I really want you to understand what God expects out of us when we become that born-again child of God. And we're going to start with verse 1 here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You see, we are to be called the sons of God and his daughters. You see, in the scriptures, I've told you before, over and over, that when it is speaking, it's speaking to both, not just man. It all means basically the same for all of us as far as being saved goes. Now, work is different, as we found out when we were talking this morning. Each one of us has a different work. God had something different in mind for each one of us when he put us here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Now, you say you're a child of God, and that you're in Jesus, and Jesus in you. That's what the Word tells us if we're born again and a child of God. He goes on here in 6 to tell us, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. You can't get any stronger than that. Now, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Just as the Lord is righteous. 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now listen. I've told you. And when you go, you can go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and you'll find out, it will tell you there, that unless you are a born-again child of God, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, verse 9 tells us, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness, is not of God. And neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, there's a lot of things that we need to be involved in our lives that's not being done today. And especially among our brothers and sisters. How much love is really out there? Most places and most churches where you go, they don't hardly even speak to one another. And they don't help one another because that love of God is not there. Because too many of our churches are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. And we're told in God's Word to stay away from them places. Leave them alone. Because a lot of times people sit in those places, they start believing what they are told, and it's keeping them away from the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of God's Word. And that's what we have to walk in. Everything we receive and everything we do goes through Jesus. And what we receive from God comes to us by the Holy Spirit. You see, they all are working together for you and I. And that's what we need to be doing with each other. And that's why this ministry has been set up like it's been set up. None of us draw any pay. The money that comes in here, we use to help the ministry and to help others that are in need that we can help. To do. And most of you that's been with me any length of time, you know that's exactly what I do. Because you know of those we have helped and even how we did it. Now, there is one thing I am going to add to this ministry, and I want to bring everybody up to date each month on what we have done that month. This month, as you all know, because I told you that I was going to do it, and what we have done this month, I told you we was going to be using $1,000 as gifts. I sent $300 to different groups to help Israel, because we are to help them. And we are told that God blesses those that will bless Israel, and he'll curse those that don't bless Israel. So that was $600. Then we sent $100 to St. Jude's Hospital here in Tennessee. And we sent $100 of our Indian nations to the people there because they are hungry, no clothing, and these reservations are all in the northern part of our country and in the cold places. And they are always in need of help because our government does not really, the government promised them they was going to do when they put them there. But that is what went with $1,000 this month. And next month, we'll be getting together. I'll be letting you know what the Spirit has led me to think about, letting you know about it, see what you think about it, then we'll do. You'll know what we've got left and all. Now, let's get back here into our lesson tonight. But I just felt by the Spirit that I ought to share that with you. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress. We're going to be getting a list here. So I want you to really think about these next verses of things that we need in our lives. Verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonments, in turmoil, in labors, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfringed, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You know, a careless reading of those verses from 4 to 10 might lead one to think that the apostle here is spontaneously tabulating disjointed thoughts as they come to his mind. But that's not true, and a closer look than when you really study about it, however, will reveal a very careful and logical arrangement. There are 27 categories divided into 3 of 9 each. In verses 4 and 5, our thoughts are on his trials. In verses 6 and 7, on divine provision, and in verses 8 through 10, on his resolute victory over circumstances. That is the way they have been divided, which lets us really see that we need to remember the things about these verses so that we can stand as Paul stood and stand steadfast with Almighty God and do so ever he will ask of us to do. 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Oh boy, here is talking to the Corinthians, which also comes forward to you and I today, because he's talking to the church, and we belong to the church world. Paul addresses his readers by name in only 2 other places. And that's Galatians and Philippians. In each case, it reflects deep emotion. And he goes on to say, our mouth is open to you, open to speak frankly and truthfully on the significance in this passage. Our heart is enlarged. He's telling us that this is a common expression from the Greek version of the Old Testament. And to enlarge the heart is to increase its capacity for sympathy and understanding. We are to sympathize with those that are in need and have a good understanding for them, and also trying to understand with them. Now, 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Once again, he's talking about that enlarged heart. 12. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now, 13. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And the only way we can do that and see that our heart is enlarged toward others is really through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Word of God, and bringing all of it into our lives and bringing it out back in life. Make it a living word in helping and reaching others that are in need. be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You see, he's telling us there, don't be yoked with these unbelievers that are teaching the wrong thing. Yes, if you're out and you meet one, you can talk to that one and share the gospel, but you don't really associate with him to get out and go places he goes and do the things he's doing. Plus you do, you're going to find yourself in trouble. Bad trouble. All right, 15. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? You see, he's talking about those. Christ is not running around those people doing the things they do. 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? This temple of God he's talking about is your body. We know that from just a few studies back. We were reading about that and studying. And we'll be getting into it quite a few more times as we go. Because you see, in this body, when you are a born-again child of God, you have got the Lord Jesus, you have got the Father, and you've got the Holy Spirit all living in you. They are in you. That's why we have the power and the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to do the things we are to be doing. Now, 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. See what I'm saying? And walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See what he's telling us? We can share God's word with them. In talk and in our services. But we're not to get out and associate with them and go to the places where they go. Now, 18. He goes on here and where he told us there in 17, and I will receive you, 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, the Lord Almighty. You see, once you become that born-again child of God, you belong to his family. But you have to be born again. That means you have to fulfill that plan of salvation righteously, and we've got too many out here today that are not doing it, and they are teaching the wrong things that is contrary to the Word of God, and they've got people believing that they're on their way to making heaven their home, and they're just as lost as they can be. I've just read here enough for you to know. We don't associate with them. Stop and think about it now. And think about yourself. How is my standing with God? Are you standing in righteousness with him? Are you truly born again? Are you filled with that Holy Spirit? Do you speak with tongues? You see, that lets you know whether you have the Holy Spirit or not. Because when you get the Holy Spirit, you will speak with tongues. Now, it may be a different language, and yet it may be the language of God and the angels. But you will speak in a tongue that you don't understand. We are told in the Bible that if we speak that in the church, and speak in tongues in the church, to have an interpreter. And if there's not an interpreter there that can interpret what we're saying in tongues, not to do it. And we found that in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, and we come through that, didn't we? Now, we have come to the end now, chapter 6. And I'm not sure about morning. I'm not sure who we will have teaching in the morning. If I'm teaching, we'll be in chapter 7 in the morning. But I will have, or should have, and Dennis both here. And before we get time to start our service, see what God has given to each one of them. And the Lord may have one of them speak to us. You'll have to wait and see what the Lord really wants done in the morning. Now, I pray that all of you have gotten something good out of this and that it will work with you and help you along the way to where you grow stronger in faith, grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and can walk in strength of obedience unto the Word of God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your Word, we thank you for that Word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for Israel and Jerusalem. And we pray for them, Father. They are yours. And Father, we love them because without them, we wouldn't be yours today, Father. We pray for Israel and Jerusalem to have peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. This land of ours that has grown so evil, Father, I pray for help of the Holy Spirit to bring your children together, to get rid of the evil in our government. Those evil that are sitting in our government that is bringing all this evil upon this land and the people. And to replace them, Father, with those that are your children that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, and loves this country, and will work with us, our government, back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those that has been and have become a part of this ministry and that studies with us, that loves you, Father, loves the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and wants to know more about all, and wants to be able to reach out to help those in this lost world, Father. And I pray for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, a fine young man. And a young man, Father, I believe is growing closer to you each and every day. Father, I pray for Bobby and Millie Johnson. And I pray for myself, Father. And also, Father, I pray for Courtney and Shane, this couple that is in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, to work with them, to help them so they can get their life straight and be on the pathway of righteousness also. Now, Father, I pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Keep us now, Father, through this night in health, in safety. And let us raise in the morning in time to join together for study at 10 a.m. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I pray you have a good evening and a good night, and that you are walking close with our Lord and Savior. Good night, all.